The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Communication Studies, it's Professor Jason Roach.
You have reached the office of Professor Roach. Please leave a message.
Beep, beep. It's your voicemail voice.
Yes. And I stole it from Verizon after they dropped James Earl Jones.
They stole it from someone else anyway. Verizon Don't worry Wireless. About it. This is CNN. I mean, Verizon Wireless. Whatever happened to Mufasa, I guess he's still around. Who knows if they'll need James Earl Jones. I'm sure by now, Professor Maggio, of the first organization that you've seen the Star Wars trailer.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'm kind of surprised.
Oh, I know. Somehow. I'm waiting for it.
It seems pretty exciting. Just like the episode one trailer did a few years ago.
Overrated.
Just
too
a little
much
bit.
Hype.
Just a little bit.
They're
little
terrible, bit. Too.
Well, yeah.
How can you make something terrible and then not know it's terrible?
I don't know. The only thing about that freaks me just a little bit is that a lot of people thought that about the original trilogy, too. And I wonder if we're living in this time warp where we have to wait 20 years and then it'll change.
Well, no, I don't think it will.
Misa, no think so.
Misa.
The classic.
The first one.
Yeah.
Sure.
77.
Sure.
Yeah, the first
okay.
and the second one.
Partly because of the wonderful, you know, 19th century program music that's
right.
sort of, you could tell what character was doing what.
Leitmotif.
Yeah, Tchaikovsky and Wagner and mm-hmm. Holst would be very happy.
Those being the dulcet tones of Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Frolic of Weihnachten.
Say what?
Yes, I wonder, Jim Tubbs, and what would your leitmotif be? So every time you enter the room, what plays?
Oh, I think Luke Skywalker's theme would be fine.
Oh, that'd be
yeah.
nice. Okay.
I like all that brass.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice. Professor Dave Chow is here.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
From the College for Creative Studies. How are you doing, Dave?
Not too bad.
You guys have a couple weeks to go.
One more.
Okay.
Only one more, okay. Thank God.
Yep. Oh, my sympathies. We've got exam week next week. Yeah. Well, starting Tuesday.
Yeah. Our weeks start on Tuesday.
But your exams start next Tuesday?
They go Tuesday to Saturday now.
I thought it was dead.
Wow. More importantly, we have class on Monday.
That is the most important thing. And I know the voice of Professor Venugopal from physics says, you are so having lecture on Monday, aren't you?
Well, of course I am.
I love
paid
it.
For it. I'm going to introduce multiple new concepts. No, I'm not.
I already have
a reputation.
Remember,
of being...
Monday is still dead week.
It's true. It's still dead.
Well, the only thing's dead in my class would be the students.
So I got to ask Professor Kendra Evans, what are you doing in lecture on Monday in chemistry?
We are doing review.
Yeah, you are.
I'm doing review too, yeah. But not in chemistry.
Why not? It's so much fun. I think if I see the glowing state of Arizona on our map, that Professor Diane Manica has joined us as well.
I have joined you. How's everybody out there?
Oh, Diane Manica.
You know, how we're doing is about 40 degrees. It's not too bad. We'll take it. We'll take it.
Okay, well, it's 72 and sunny.
Oh. Hush, hush. But she had rain yesterday.
I did have rain. I was going to tell you, I thought I was back in Michigan. It was overcast. It rained through the night before last. And then in the morning, it rained so hard I didn't even go out.
She refused to leave her home because it was inclement weather.
But about 12:30, everything cleared up beautifully.
Sun will take care of that water in just a few minutes. Well, folks.
Well, actually, if it started to dry up, it was like 10 minutes after it rained. It was almost dry.
Oh, my gosh. I was sure there was going to be a joke in there about, oh, you knew it was raining all night because, of course, the windows were open all night, and it was so airy and warm that you could just
relax.
Well,
I do have to say, yesterday when I came in the evening, it was much more humid here.
Okay. That's probably true. That's probably
true. That was the indication of the rain coming.
I can't imagine Arizona being humid. I mean, that just does not...
I was amazed. I had this warm feeling, and I thought, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden I realized it had to be humidity.
I have never been in single-digit relative humidity except in Arizona. I didn't know that was possible.
Single-digit?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to drink water.
You don't want
water
it to be that low. Your nose would be bleeding.
It keeps chapstick.
Well, yes. Chapstick. Everybody buys chapstick and uses it frequently.
Oh, that low. Wouldn't your nose
bleed
too?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll have our questions. about mucous membranes later on the show. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win a prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. Since this, by evidence of the jingle bells, is our Christmas show, we're going to do some Christmas questions.
Yay. Ooh,
so as oh, not Lordy. To monopolize the time, I think I did that a couple of weeks ago on the show, here are a mere half dozen Christmas trivia questions from Kimberly Richards.
Oh, thanks, Kimberly.
What is a Christmas pickle?
It's that German thing, isn't it, where you hide it in the tree or whoever finds it wins
the lottery? Whether to buy something for you or something for somebody else.
Yeah. Can I return this?
Yes, that is a quick That's a Christmas pickle. Pickle. But no, I believe that it is true. A traditional German tree ornament that brings an extra gift to the child who first discovers it.
Or who tears down the tree first.
Yeah. So they hang a little pig ornament on the tree, too.
I just have to say this entire line of questioning discriminates against atheists.
Oh, jeez.
Well, we'll have to think of some Christmas questions for atheists.
Thank you. Thank you. I knew you'd have it in you.
It will keep me busy all year long.
Christmas questions
when
for
was
atheists.
The little baby atheist put in the major?
Just have holiday questions.
You know, I know for a fact.
The Festivus tree.
You know, anybody from the state of Michigan or even who has been transplanted here knows all about Bronner's Christmas Wonderland. They sell a lot of Christmas pickle ornaments, and I'm like, can't you just take a pickle and put like a piece of thread through it? I mean, seriously. It may not smell the best.
It doesn't have glitter on it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh.
And if it's from Bronner, it has glitter.
It's got glitter and it's got your name.
And you can
glitter.
Get your name on it.
It's got your name written on it.
I would love to have my name engraved on a Christmas pickle. Mm-hmm. I think that would just be wonderful.
That's what we're going to put on your tombstone one of these days, Jim.
He could always go around saying, I'm in a pickle.
Glittery pickle at that.
Glittery pickle, that's right.
Professors, where did the word poinsettia come from?
Colonel Poinsett. Who was an American, I think he was a colonel in the American Army who found them down in Mexico and decided to bring them back to this country.
Exactly, in 1825. And his first name was Joel. Otherwise, you pretty much hit every other main point there, Jim.
Cool.
The man knows a lot about the holidays. What nation begat the personality that we now call Santa Claus, or perhaps its closest facsimile, Santa Claus now?
St. Nicholas?
Mm-hmm.
Not St. Nicholas.
Wasn't it the Czech Republic? Let's see.
Is that what it says
Holland?
Here? Holland, I'm giving it to you. It says it's the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Because it comes from the word Sinterklaas, who is arriving on a white horse to give the children gifts, accompanied, of course, by Black Peter, who carries switches
to
punish
the
children.
Who is, of course, the progenitor for Belsnickel, who lives at the South Pole and comes and takes all the gifts out of the stockings.
Where does Mr. Heatmiser live? Mr. 101.
In the sky or something. But most people who know me fairly well know that there's all sorts of opposite sides to the coin characters around the world for Santa Claus. And if you know me, you know I'm in this Halloween club, and we have a holiday party every year. And someone dresses up as the Krampus, which is the one from the German tradition, who basically is just a giant demon who punishes children who've been bad over the last year. So you get your picture taken with Krampus instead of Santa.
Oh, for Halloween?
For the Halloween Club Christmas party. How's that?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
When and where were, check out the air quotes, Americans first introduced to a Christmas tree? When and where?
Probably 1800.
Wasn't it Dickens? Wasn't it in the 1840s?
Philadelphia.
It says it's quite a bit earlier than that.
Oh.
Philadelphia in the 1780s.
I mean, you're close.
Probably
Boston
would have had either German or English origins. I'm guessing probably.
I'm going 1689.
German.
1689. How about 1324?
Sold.
1492?
No. Apparently, as we've all heard some rhymes and some reasons regarding the American Revolution, the Hessian soldiers set them up in camp in the 1770s during the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, because Luther really started the trend in the
16th
century.
Fat lot of good it did them.
They were using them as cover.
King George was not paying them enough. He was having a fiscal crisis.
They were using them as distractions.
Yeah, camouflage.
That's why he had the rebellion. He didn't pay him enough.
Catherine the Great was invited to provide some soldiers, too, some Russian soldiers, and decided not to do so.
Well, I'm so glad. Who knows where Russia would be today? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
How much of us would be Russian?
Yeah. Santa Claus had his own church holiday until what year?
When you say Santa Claus, you're referring to St. Nicholas?
St. Nicholas.
Until what year? Mm-hmm. Oh, how about 1949?
You're, you know, really, really close in the fact that you just pull numbers off the top of your head. I feel like giving it to you. I can see myself grading my final now. You're really, really close. And
oh, why not? And in chemistry, what's a few?
You know, I don't know anything about...
It just sounds like something Pius XII would have done.
You know, it says here that it was Paul IV. Oh. And I'm not sure if it was, as we call it, you know, a feast day where we have to attend Mass. But it was till 1969. St. Nicholas Day was a proper... compulsory wow. celebration wow. of the Catholic Church. Hmm.
What, is that's that December insane. 6th?
December 6th.
That's a 1% error if you consider it's 20 years off no, in a 2,000-year history.
Two.
So, you have to go to church on that
Pope
day?
John the 23rd.
Well, it would have been a feast of obligation in the past, but I didn't live pre-Vatican II, so I don't know what that meant, you know. When and where was the world's first electrically lighted Christmas tree?
Cleveland, Ohio.
No.
Oh. Rockefeller Center?
No.
Chicago.
Philadelphia. DC.
Unfortunately, I don't have the location. I have the name of the person whose home.
Edison's house. Edison's house.
It was Edison's friend, Edward Johnson.
Oh, so
in what
close.
Year? I'll give you a hint. It was the 56? Same four-digit phone number that I had my freshman year.
Oh, for the love of... Yeah, let's go check the men's bathroom. Let's see if the number's still
1901.
There.
1901.
It was 1882.
Oh, 1882.
1882.
They must have been hot bulbs. Ooh.
I bet they were. Sorry. I would like to say that at Target this year, much to the... you know, everybody kind of gets excited about different things. We're shopping, and they have Edison lights, as in the shape of the ones that Edison made for that tree that you can buy. And my wife, being the Henry Ford and Edison fanatic that she is, basically squealed.
When you said, Edison lights, I was thinking little, you know, little heads of Edison glow or something.
that would make sense.
That'd be more fun. Yeah.
With the filament in there that gets really, really hot.
Mm-hmm. Kimberly Richards says, best holiday wishes to you.
Likewise. And to you, Kimberly.
And yours.
And to you, a good night.
Amen. And while we think about that craziness, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Sleigh Bell Orchestra brings us Ask the Professor. I'm your host on this Christmas program, Edwin DeWint, and today we have all of our regular panelists with us, gathered around the Christmas tree. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Sure. I mean, it's a great pleasure to be here, as always, and the top of the season to you all.
Yes. You're all right. On his right.
George is opening all his presents.
I know it. That's his trouble.
Well, I mean, here we are.
Can't you wait?
The very day.
It's so greedy.
And we're on the radio.
I know.
You want me to have my mind focused?
Well.
I can't do that.
Visions of Sugar Plums.
Today.
That was Robert O'Neill from the Department of Psychology. And to his right, from the Department of History, looking very elfin, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Who wrote that? Oh, we're not into the
questions. No, not in the questions yet. No. And on her...
Most of the questions you hear on this program are asked by our listeners.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Hello, ho, ho, Edwin.
Oh, oh, clever. Our first set of questions are sent in from Neil Rifkin of Livonia, Michigan. Christmas-type questions.
Oh, good.
He says, I'll give you a country's name for Christmas, and you give me the country.
Okay, Sweden.
Noel. Oh.
France.
That's right. Yule.
Jul, Sweden?
No.
Norway?
No.
Nope.
England?
Well, it's part of that.
Scotland?
Yes, Scotland, yes. Weihnachten?
Germany.
That's right. And
that
Navidad?
Sounds German.
Spain?
That's right.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's ask it again.
I mean,
I got all that. That was
really Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
George.
Just a little musical interlude here.
And we are back with some wonderful, wonderful memories, thanks to our producer and technician, Michael Jason, from the long past. Ho, ho, hello, profs. While in the process of assembling a new set of questions to ensure I do not procrastinate for another 30 years, a call went out looking for Christmas-themed questions for this year's Christmas episode. Previously, I mentioned that when I was a kid, I used to record episodes of ATP and listen to them repeatedly. The other show I often did this with was the Dr. Demento show.
There's not much of a difference.
I used to do that too, by the way.
As such, my brain is filled with silly novelty Christmas records at this time of year. Therefore, I have assembled a short quiz on this topic. Since there's only 10 questions, I will consider
having fun taking a quiz as a passing grade. I'm putting that at the top of my final. I'm putting that at the top of my final. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the best. Nat Pike from Livonia, Michigan.
Can we call him Nat King Pike?
Nat King Pike. There you go. George Rock, the trumpet player in Spike Jonze's City Slickers, was renowned for his technical prowess and trickery on the instrument, as well as being recognizable as a large, towering member of the troupe. But he is most recognized as what?
George Pike?
George Rock.
Oh, George Rock. Oh, sorry, my bad.
A trumpet player from Spike Jonze's City Slickers. He played that instrument for the band, but he is actually most recognized. Remember, our theme is Christmas novelty songs.
It's got to be the Charlie Brown theme.
You're getting in, you're getting warm.
Sleigh Ride?
He sang a part when he was very, very small in a classic Christmas novelty
All I Want for Christmas
song.
Is My Two Front Teeth?
All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
My Two Front Teeth. My Two Front Teeth.
And I could wish
it's,
you
Of course, it's
a
been
Merry
replaced
Christmas.
By a hippopotamus.
Well, yeah, that's
Our grandma got ran over by a reindeer.
Poor grandma.
Not the same.
In Weird Al Yankovic's Christmas offering, quote, Christmas at Ground Zero, unquote, what does the narrator plan to do under the mistletoe with his Yuletide lover?
Oh, man, I used to know this song.
This is a family show.
What a crazy fluke. Yeah. We'll all get nuked on this jolly holiday.
You're,
but I don't know what they did under the mistletoe.
Let's just say that it rhymes with
Something goodbye?
Yuletide lover. It does rhyme with
something
Yuletide
under
lover.
The cover.
Hey, they're going to duck and cover.
Oh,
is
duck
what it
and
says.
Cover.
Right,
duck and cover.
Perfect sense. What ubiquitous Christmas novelty record was recorded by Gayla Peavy in 1953?
Christmas novelty record?
What ubiquitous Christmas novelty record?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree?
Nope. I was pointing at Professor Tubbs 53? A moment ago.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do back then?
Bing Crosby.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
That was it?
Was Gayla Peavy.
Oh, yes. I didn't realize that song was that old.
Yes, it
you
is.
Came in the same year as that song.
Mm-hmm. Me and the hippo came together.
Oh, my gosh. On Bob and Doug McKenzie's parody of The 12 Days of Christmas, performed by Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis, what is the oft-repeated first-day gift that replaces the better-known partridge in a pear tree?
A beer.
Yes, a beer. What gift did Alvin want in the Chipmunk song?
A hula hoop.
He really wanted a hula hoop. They can hardly wait. In De Uper's version of Jingle Bells, what do they dash through the snow in? And we all should know this one, too.
The nude?
No. Oh. They would have to dash.
Well, I figured it's on the way to the outhouse.
You just need to think about the syncopation of one of the best-known American songs of all time. Dashing through the snow in a...
Pickup truck?
Beat-up Chevrolet?
Rusty no Chevrolet. Yes, very well done. Very well done. Even Spinal Tap, the fictional heavy metal group, had a Christmas album.
Oh, no.
What was it called? Oh, this is great. I never knew this. This is great.
I love Spinal Tap. Something with Levin in it.
No, but I mean, you're thinking like the way they think. I mean, like, it's heavy metal, so it has to be something what?
The 11 Days of Christmas?
Nope.
The 666 Days of Christmas.
You're so close.
Oh, I am?
Oh, the name of the album is Christmas with the Devil.
Makes perfect sense.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh, that's so great.
Let me take my cap off.
Don't show the horns.
Oh, my gosh. Who sang A Christmas Carol, which contains such endearing lines as, on Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 364.
The Grinch?
Holy.
Is this the Grinch? Or
no, we need to think a little more about political commentary. Who's a very famous political novelty song writer and performer?
Kelly Yankovic?
Pete Seeger?
No.
Klaus? George Carlin?
Guthrie?
Nope. I'm surprised. It's a
Garrison Keillor?
No. Two names. First name T, last name L. I'm quite surprised. Especially you, Prasad. I'm serious that you wouldn't know this. It's pretty well-known stuff.
No pressure whatsoever.
Yeah, no pressure.
No, really.
I just tossed out like three or four names.
Tom.
Tim. Tom.
Nice. Very good.
Tom Landry.
Tom Lehrer.
Tom Lehrer. Thank you, Michael. Oh. Tom Lehrer. Yes.
The voice from above.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, voice of God.
He could not handle it anymore.
Who brought us the 8 Polish foods of Christmas with a boiled potato topped with dill weed?
My
topping
wife.
The list.
Oh.
Weird Al Yankovic.
No. This is a very famous modern troupe of cartoon characters with a decidedly Christian bent.
VeggieTales.
The VeggieTales, yes, brought us. The 8 nice. Polish foods of Christmas.
Who the heck are the VeggieTales?
Yeah, what?
They're an animated group of vegetables.
Hmm. Yeah.
How do you know this?
That's a better nieces question. And nephews.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't
also,
know.
Also... Closet VeggieTales fan. You know. This comedian's version of the 12 Days of Christmas crams in such polysyllabic gifts as a chromium combination manicure, scissors, and cigarette lighter, a calendar book with the name of my insurance man on it, an automatic vegetable slicer that works when you see it on television but not when you get it home, a statue of a lady with a clock where her stomach should be, and finally, a Japanese transistor radio. Another very famous parody song writer and performer. Initials A.S.
Arlen Specter.
Oh. Aaron Sorkin.
I think it's funny sometimes when I know these and you guys don't, and then vice versa. And Michael has to come in sometimes to correct me, too. I know.
A.S.
I'm really surprised you guys don't know this.
Yes.
No.
I bet Michael does again, and he's gearing up the microphone. It's Alan Sherman is the very
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
all right. Alan Sherman. I hadn't thought about him in years.
Yeah. Wow. Hmm.
Yes.
A big name on Dr. Demento.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No question about it.
And a Japanese transistor radio.
There you go. Here's my holiday gift to you, profs. 10 very easy questions with
the TV
in them.
Oh.
Most series can't resist holiday episodes, you know. Today your charming host will read, will read a summary of Christmas episodes from well-known U.S. TV series. All you have to do is identify the name of the series. Easy as mincemeat pie. And if you give the name of the episode, you will win a whole prize package in one fell swoop. Joyeux Noël at Bon Année from Paris, Mark Neymark.
Wow.
Yes. A joyeux Noël to you, too.
Joyeux Noël.
Oh, thank you. My Italian accent has ruined my French accent.
Is that what that was?
They're going to kick you out of the league.
I should say my Michigan accent, right, Professor Evans?
Oh, that's right, yes.
Strapped for cash for the holidays, Hal and Lois decide that all Christmas gifts this year should be handmade.
Children.
But when Hal sees the thoughtful quality gifts the boys make, he feels bad about his shoddy attempt and panics. Yeah.
Hal and Lois.
Oh, that's not. No, that's Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle is the correct response. Yes.
Now, does he want the episode number 2?
No.
Oh,
he just wants the title of the episode, which was not surprisingly Hal's Christmas gift. Early Bryan Cranston.
Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
Feeling sympathetic for a coworker who hasn't spent Christmas with his family for years, Mary is forced to stay alone at WJM on Christmas
Eve. Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yes. And what was the name of the episode?
Mary Tyler Moore's Christmas.
Mary spends Christmas alone.
No. Christmas and the Hard Luck Kid 2.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that was complex.
Wow, I don't remember the first one.
It had an elephant, I think.
Michael throws an elaborate Christmas party to celebrate Holly's temporary return to the Scranton branch, but is disappointed when he learns she still has a boyfriend.
The office. All you have to do is say Scranton.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
University of Scranton, one of our sister schools in the Jesuit network. Mm-hmm. But what was the name of the episode?
A Dunder Mifflin Christmas.
It's a good guess.
Scranton for the holidays. Really picked the right episode. Classy Christmas was the name of the episode. Freddie returns with a valuable new client. The firm reluctantly throws a Christmas party for its most important client, and Don prepares for his first Christmas away from his children. Sounds so heartwarming.
Oh,
Mad Men?
That's Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
Christmas comes
heartwarming about that.
But once a year.
I was going to say, it sounds like my life.
Toby's estranged father appears in his office a couple of nights before Christmas. Leo and Jed find themselves trying to fix problems as well as their consciences.
70s show.
Nope.
Leo and
Toby
Jed.
Is the thing. I think you and I have talked about this show before too, Prasad. We both were fans when it was first run.
Twin Peaks?
Nope.
Toby,
Leo, and Jed.
Well, Arrested Development?
Nope.
No.
It is a drama, not a comedy.
Leo and Jed.
Mm-hmm. Let's
Jed
see.
Clampett?
I believe Martin Sheen played the lead role.
West Wing.
Yep. The name of the episode was Holy Night. Well, that's great. You watched that show, right, Prasad?
I did.
Yeah,
we did discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
Esmeralda goofs and zaps up Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Bewitched.
Yes, who finds he can't leave. Samantha brings his elves to him, turning their house into Santa's toy shop. That's Bewitched. The name of the episode was Santa Comes to Visit and Stays and Stays. It pretty much lays it all out. In the week before Christmas, Mitch and Hobie take in a strange 10-year-old girl named Joey. Meanwhile, CJ helps out with a local church program for homeless children and is attracted to young priest, Father Sam Ryan. A lonely and depressed Matt, gets into the holiday spirit when a group of dwarves, led by one named Benny, hang out in front of the lifeguard tower every day, and Matt suspects they may actually be Santa's real elves after they decorate his tower for Christmas.
Baywatch.
All you had to do was say lifeguard tower.
All you had to say CJ.
Oh, yeah, CJ, that's right.
Come on, he's a centennial baby.
It's true. The episode was titled Silent Night, Baywatch Night, Part 1.
Ooh. Really? So is there Part 2, I'm assuming?
Oh,
they were hoping.
The Hoff comes down from above. It's the Christmas season, and McNamara Troy get a couple of very merry patients, a man and a woman whose profession it is to be Santa and Mrs. Claus. That's right.
There you go.
It's Nip-Tuck. They decide they want to give their characters a new thinner image for children to know. Joy Kringle was the name of the episode. My. It's Christmas time, and the expected range of emotions is found among the staffers. You get to stop there. Susan Lewis treats a middle-aged woman who's overjoyed at finally getting pregnant. Doug Ross takes Green's advice and decides to tell Carol Hathaway he loves her. ER, yes.
George Clooney.
Yep, you got it. Peter Benton jumps the gun and arranges for transplant teams to harvest an accident victim's organs, but the man's wife is refusing to give consent.
Mesh.
ER. Sorry.
Sorry.
The gift. When the gang finds out Jane lied about being born on Christmas Day and never got her own celebration, they throw a Christmas-free birthday party for her.
Always Sunny?
No, I'm afraid to say I'm not familiar with the show.
One Jane. That's it.
Yeah, that's all it says. Two-word title, H-E are the words.
The Jetsons?
No. Jan, his faking birthday person.
You don't know anything.
It says happy endings. I've never heard of that before.
No idea what that is.
No idea.
Haven't seen that one.
Nope.
Since it's our American expatriate in Paris, it could be one of those Sky Network or BBC shows that we just never hear about, you know? And we got to say goodbye. I'm afraid it's time for us all to say goodbye. Professor Evans.
Merry Christmas.
Professor Venugopal.
Atheists of the world unite.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
It's why in the web.
Professor Maggio.
Merry Christmas.
Professor Roach.
Merry Christmas.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Till next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.